Welcome to this service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls this morning. And as we always say, if you are a visitor here today, we welcome you and hope that you will join us whenever you choose to do so. I'd like to ask Pastor Glenn now to please call us to worship.
Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we reflect on what is happening in our world. Please allow us to be your light in the world. Let us be motivated to lend strength to those who are powerless, to listen with new understanding to those who are different from us, to offer assistance to those who have great need, to reflect your love for every life that you have created. Fill us with your spirit to do what we have feared to do. Empower us with your love to truly introduce your kingdom to our hurting world. Amen.
This is Pastor Glenn.
Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and giver of the Holy Spirit, keep our minds searching out your mystery and keep our faith strong to declare that you are one eternal God and Father, revealed by the Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. We remember your presence among us as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time that we share our announcements. There are just a couple that I would like to make. For those of us living in North Attleboro, you're probably aware of the terrible fire that happened on North Washington Street. That was a sober house for people who were trying to get over that addiction. They are now looking for men's clothing, new or used, housewares, bedding, and toiletries. If you'd like to donate anything like that, you're asked to bring it to 122 High Street. You can get that from the church office if you don't have the ability to write that down. Or you even may bring those items to the Christian Education Building on a Tuesday or a Thursday, and we will deliver those items. But as always, I ask you to call the church before you come and make sure that there is someone at the CE building. I got the message, too, that there is a scheduled vigil for racial justice happening tomorrow night. The Greater Attleboro Interfaith Network is asking people of all faiths to please participate. And I'm asking you to join me, if you wish to, at 9 p.m. tomorrow night. What we are being asked to do is to go out in front of our homes, on a porch, on the lawn, wherever you are, even if you're not in North Attleboro, and bring a candle and light it and stay there for 9 minutes. The significance of nine is it was 9 p.m. when George Lloyd was pronounced dead. And the 9 minutes is it took him to die. So if you are so inclined, please join me tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Just be out in front of your house, wherever you live, and have a lighted candle. And I did send around a flyer to some of you to explain it a little bit more, but the time.
Are there any other organizations that are doing that, or is that part of a larger movement?
Well, it's from GAIN, which is the Greater Attleboro Interfaith Network, which was born out of the old Council of Churches to increase ecumenicity in our area.
Nice.
So they're trying to get as many people as possible to join in, Wayne. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Yep. And that's the last announcement I have. So are there any announcements that any of you would like to make?
Yeah, if not, Mr. Dave, you want to introduce? I'll leave it alone, Rich.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh. Mr. Dave is muted again.
I'm not touching it anymore.
Well, now no one's touching it, so someone please unmute Mr. Dave.
There we go. All right, I just did. I hopefully did.
Not yet.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Okay, yep. We can hear you now, Dave.
Okay. So our first hymn that we're going to sing together, and once again, remember, leave yourself muted. And you're just singing in your own home with the people that are in your room with you. We're going to sing a hymn right out of our hymnal. And Ashley has also put the lyrics up. If you go down to your chat, your little area where you can choose different things, you'll see chat is lit up. And if you go into the chat room there, she has posted the lyrics also over there. So if you didn't receive the email with the lyrics, you don't have them in front of you, go down to that little button, click on chat, and the lyrics are posted there. So you can join along and singing. And this is, O God, Our Help in Ages Past.
¶¶
Share our celebrations. It was several weeks ago that we were celebrating graduates like Megan from college. And today is the day that we should probably think about our high school graduates. To my knowledge, there are four within our church family who are graduating either virtually or in some other way. I'm going to tell you a little bit about each person. One is Adam Higgins. He's graduating from Tri-County. He was studying computer information systems, and he plans to take a fall semester off and then attend Bristol Community College in the spring. Madison Lynn Lavoie, a young lady who has sung for us sometimes, is graduating from a high school program at Riverview School in Sandwich, Mass., and she's going on to a post-high school program, which helps young adults with disabilities to work and live in the outside world. Eric Kugler is graduating from Tri-County as well, and he was in the engineering program. He's going to be attending Fitchburg State University in the fall and majoring in communications, media, film, and video production. And Bella DiChiara, the granddaughter of Wade and Barbara, has graduated from high school and is going to Clark University in Worcester, Mass., and will be majoring in biochemistry with a minor in psychology. So we should be praying for these young people. They're coming out into a difficult situation. Many of them don't know if they'll be on campus or not. So if there are other celebrations, please feel free to mute yourselves and bring them out to us.
I have one, Reverend Carroll.
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to say happy birthday to my sister. It's her birthday today, and she's at church this morning with us. So
wonderful.
I'm going to see her for the first time today since the beginning of March. We're all excited.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations. That's terrific. Anyone else?
Hi, Reverend Carroll. This is Sherilyn. I have some exciting news, and that is that I'm in the process of purchasing a house.
Oh, good for you.
Just down the street from my parents.
Terrific. Congratulations, Sherilyn. That's wonderful.
Yay. Carol?
Go ahead.
Yeah?
Our daughter, Kim, is graduating on Wednesday from Attleboro High School.
Oh, nice.
She will be going to Rhode Island College in the fall, whether it be remote or there. We don't know yet, but mm-hmm. she's going to study special education.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Very good. And Eric, you said you wanted to say something.
Yeah, so today is Aaron and I's one-year wedding anniversary.
Yay!
Oh, it's crazy that a year passed. So I'm in the car right now, so if I'm cutting in and out, I apologize. We're actually on our way to the hospital to see Cora at the moment.
Yay!
So
may your future years of marriage be less eventful.
yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But
how is Cora?
She's good. She's yesterday she was up to 3 pounds, 15 ounces.
Yay!
Getting very close.
She is. So hopefully next week they're going to be able to take her feeding tube out, and hopefully Aaron can start breastfeeding and
breastfeeding.
So she's getting better every day.
Yay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Celebrate with you.
Thank you.
Not nearly as exciting as that, but today would have been my bridal shower, and we're very happy that we've been able to successfully replan everything for next year when it'll be safe.
Ashley, that's a hard decision, but I applaud you for that.
Yep, it was the thing to do.
It was, indeed. And we celebrate with you for your almost bridal shower.
Thank you.
I have one more celebration.
Yes.
on my Facebook today popped up 5 years ago. I'm just going to read it real quick. A huge heartfelt thank you to all my church peeps and my family for celebrating my 28 plus years at Central Congregational Church. God has truly blessed me with all of you, and I love you all. What this church has done for me and all that, what this church is and all that it's done for me in my heart and my soul and my faith in God is beyond words. It was my church party that you guys threw me like 5 years ago. So
Right.
I celebrate now. It's 33 years going on.
We stopped counting somewhere around 30, didn't we,
David? Yeah. So I'm still here. I wasn't here last week, but I was here.
Only in you were here in spirit and in voice, but not in video.
Yes. So my, how times have changed.
My indeed. And anyone else have a celebration? Well, if not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including these people, Aaron, Eric, and Cora. We will continue to pray for until Cora comes home. And we pray for Lee and Cher, for Chad, for Richard, who we heard earlier might be home this coming week, which is wonderful news from Braintree Rehab. We pray for Nikolai, for Tyler, for Jen and Doris, for Ed and Janet, for Wade, for Steve and Lee, for Carol, who we'll have to find out later. She's due to have vascular surgery. I don't know if that's happened or not yet. We continue to pray for Ken, who had a retina tear and is losing the vision in one eye, for Brigitte and Marie, for Matt Trowbridge and his team at his assisted living. We also remember all of those who are in nursing homes and assisted living, Bud and Jackie and Carol. We also continue to pray for the people who are suffering from the coronavirus and for first responders and all who work in the medical profession, and especially for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face this difficult situation together. We certainly pray for our cities that are being ravaged and burned, and we pray for the protesters who are sometimes being set upon. And we ask that God will be with us in this difficult time. So please join me in prayer. Loving God, we pray this morning for the ability to let go of unnecessary worry and anxiety, to focus on the reality of your unfailing love for us. Clinging to the message Jesus brought us in his life and death and resurrection, we pray for peace, for justice, and for mercy. Help us to commit ourselves to praying for our enemies, seeking reconciliation with those against whom we hold grudges or resentments or hatreds. Grant us your peace. Allow it to thrive in families who are dealing with this pandemic, the loss of jobs, and working through conflicts or disagreements of daily life shared together. Use your peace to dissolve the rancor and bitterness that is pervading our nation at this time, and make healing ever accessible, and let forgiveness become a practiced instrument of grace. May we all be drawn together and recognize our common humanity, and may the impulse of all people be towards serving one another. Bring your peace and comfort to those who are in need of your healing, both physically and spiritually. Be with those whose names we have spoken this morning and all others that we may bring before you now in our own homes in this moment of silence. Let us be in silence. Finally, we pray that the word of God might nourish us to work for peace in the whole world. We ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
God will
Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Psalms, Psalms 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May God help us in our understanding of those words. And Mr. Dave?
Our next hymn that we're going to hear I actually searched for it. In light of all the things that have happened this week, between the protests and the rioting and the unrest, I actually just went to the computer and Googled New World or Healing World hymns. And I came up with this hymn that it's a familiar hymn that we have, that we sing right out of our hymnal, Be Still My Soul, but somebody had put different lyrics to it. And as I read through the lyrics, I thought it was very appropriate for this week's happenings. So it'll be a familiar hymn to you, but the lyrics are very poignant. So here is The World Needs Love.
So many hearts are hurting. Work through us all and help us spread your peace, bringing to all through your forgiving spirit freedom from guilt, from bitterness release. Reconcile us, help us shed tranquil calmness, till anger stills and all our conflict cease. The world needs hope, a vision for the future, what life might be, what we are striving to. May we all lead through the transforming spirit, lives that fulfill what we know to be true. To share our gifts, show forth all loving kindness, encourage all to find great joy anew. The world needs faith, a willing dedication of all we are and all we might yet be. May we all serve through the empowering spirit, an active faith in our community. Love for each soul, respecting and upholding, declares the worth of all humanity. The world needs joy, a sense of celebration, that human lives have such diversity. May we all see through thy dynamic spirit each person's part in life's vitality. Sharing our joys, sorrows, make our small world a better place to be.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. That was very, very appropriate. Thank you for finding that. In difficult times, forebears, the Hebrew people, were turned to a book of the Jewish scriptures called the Psalms. Why? Because the living spirit of any religion shines most clearly in their hymns, as Mr. Dave shows us every single Sunday. Yes, the Psalter, as it is called, is the ancient hymnal of ancient Israel compiled from older collections of lyrics for use in their worship. The Protestant church has always had at its very roots the tradition of singing hymns. Last Sunday, for example, Mr. Dave chose the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Who wrote it? None other than Martin Luther, who began the Protestant Reformation. He wrote it in 1529. And we still sing that wonderful, wonderful hymn. Mr. Dave knows this, and I suspect we all know it as well. Music teaches our souls more surely than all the preaching and all the spoken words. Hymns, anthems, and voices singing, whether in the choir, in the gathered congregation, solos, duets, trios, quartets, those are the things that invoke our emotions, our feelings. How many times has someone said to me, I can't sing that hymn because it makes me cry. There are hymns that do that to me as well. Or I love to sing that hymn because it lifts me up. These are difficult times, and they seem to be getting even more so. So I thought that we might find comfort and understanding in several psalms over the next few weeks. As a song from The Sound of Music says, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So we start with Psalm 1. It's thought to be written by King David, who wrote very many of the Psalms. Psalm 1 gives a clear distinction between the righteous and the wicked. There are several divisions of the Old Testament. The first books are called the books of history, and they go from Genesis to Esther, who was queen. The next division are called the wisdom literature, and that includes Job, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And the rest of the books in the Old Testament are all the books of prophecy, from Isaiah to Malachi. Those books of wisdom literature in the Bible divide humankind into two absolute categories and does not recognize a third. There are the righteous, and Psalm 1 is the righteous and those who are unrighteous. Psalm 1 suggests that the righteous are those who prosper and the wicked do not prosper, but too often it seems that the wicked do prosper and the good people do not. At least that is how I experience the world sometimes. And how do we define prosperity today? It's almost always in terms of money or wealth. And that's not very new, actually. Jesus knew about the power and seduction of money. Jesus spoke more about money and possessions than any other subject except the kingdom of God. 16 of the 38 parables were about how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing one out of every 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Those verses warn of the danger of loving and idolizing money. But in the Old Testament, prosperity meant several things, not usually revolving around money. The realization of goals, for example, success in labor, living in peace and safety, happiness, and enjoying the benefits of familial relationships. Only in a very minor sense was prosperity associated with acquiring and possessing material goods. More important to the Hebrews were the spiritual and ethical dimensions of prosperity, true prosperity was linked to the blessings of being obedient to God's will. And this is certainly the case in the first psalm. The beautiful poem may have been committed to memory by many of you because of its lyrical wisdom. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is spiritual prosperity, perpetual flourishing and fruitfulness of a godly life in a mental climate of continual refreshment. This prosperity is self-chosen. The godly avoid the contagion of wickedness and being in the company of sinners. Think of the miserable existence of so many wealthy people. John Jacob Astor, it's a name I've known, but I didn't really understand his story. At the time of his death in 1848, he was the richest man in America. He was certainly considered to be prosperous. He was born in the village of Waldorf in Germany, left home at the age of 18, after just enough education to enable him to read and write and do simple arithmetic. Soon after the end of the Revolutionary War, he came to the United States, and he happened to be on a passenger. He was a passenger on a ship coming in, and it got stuck in the ice of Chesapeake Bay for 2 months in January 1784. And during this period, Astor learned everything he could about the fur trade from a fellow traveler who had successfully engaged in it with the Native Americans. So when the vessel finally got free from the ice, he knew what his future occupation was going to be. He worked for several years in New York City to acquire capital, and within a few years, he was making trips to the frontier to buy furs. By the year 1800, he was the leading trader in the commodity of furs in the United States, and he had gained a considerable fortune. But at the same time, he was buying real estate in Manhattan, which was later to form the bulk of the Astor fortune. After the Louisiana Purchase opened up the West, he enlarged his trade, but in 1934, he sold all of his fur interests and thereafter devoted his time to real estate. He owned a mansion in New York City, but seemed to have very little interest in luxuries. After John Jacob Astor died in 1848, the newspapers assessed his life and found very little to admire. He was called a money-making machine and was described as ruthless, selfish, and grasping. And in the final days of his life, there was an event that illustrated his character. While he was on his deathbed, he ordered one of his rent collectors to go out and collect from an impoverished widow. But the employee told Mr. Astor that she just needed a little more time. And Astor, the richest man in the country, would accept no excuse. So the collector went instead to Astor's son and explained the circumstances to him. The son took money from his own pocket, which the employee then took to the father. And the dying man's response was, "I knew she would pay up if you were hard enough." Boy, does that sound familiar to someone that we all see on TV a lot these days? To a faithful servant who worked for him for many years, this wealthy man whose fortune was in the millions left only $200. $200. America's richest citizen left this life with a sense of greed that defies description. Having been blind to the faintest sense of charity to the very end, he's very little remembered, but is like the chaff which the wind drives away, as King David wrote in the Psalm. The focus of the Old Testament, the Jewish faith, and particularly the Psalms, like this first Psalm, talk about the covenant that we have with God. It sets forth at the outset, the basic choice that every child of God has, the one that defines the issues confronting human choice: God's will or the pressures of the age, a prosperous life or mere futility, fruit or chaff. We are watching every day what so-called prosperity has done to us, as defined by wealth, and what it is doing to us as a nation. Leaders who fail to lead because of a fear of losing their job, a political position, or personal wealth, they are like chaff which the wind will blow away. Protesters in the streets are being blamed for upsetting our comfortable life. Destruction and looting can never be called righteous, but peaceful speaking out can certainly be called righteous. And some wealthy people in this nation still do very good things with their wealth in the name of philanthropy. Many of the people who gathered to protest have been back the next day to clean up the mess that was not their doing. And this is where I find my hope for the future. We may not think that we are prosperous in the ways of the world in terms of personal wealth. We are, however, every one of us prosperous in terms of this psalm. And listen to this letter that someone once wrote to God. Dear Lord, I have been rereading the record of the rich young ruler and his obviously wrong choice. Remember when he was approached, when he approached Jesus, Jesus told him he would have to give up his wealth. So this letter goes on. It says, but it has set me thinking, no matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, have any surgery, turn on an electric light, buy penicillin, hear a pipe organ, watch TV, wash dishes in running water, mow a lawn, fly in an airplane, sleep on an inner spring mattress, or talk on the phone. And I might add to that, go to worship on a computer or a phone. The writer of that letter ended saying this for himself and for all of us. If he was rich, then what am I? So let us give thanks to God who has given us wealth and prosperity beyond our understanding. And let us live to spread the love and righteousness that David wrote about in this psalm and that Jesus taught us. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and place you in the presence of his glory, jubilant and above reproach, to the only God our Savior be glory and majesty, might and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.
Being in worship, and if you would like to unmute yourself and join in conversation, please feel free to do so.